June 11th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is episode 2, and I remain your host, Don Brown, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in downtown Waukesha on the Five Points. I am joined by my faithful companion, the mighty Max Martinson, producer extraordinaire, who is producing from home tonight. He's not all the way down in Radio Park, so he gets to chill a little bit more, doesn't have a long ride back. And Max, how are you tonight?
Doing all right.
Doing all right. That's fantastic. And this was a week of, you look around, in the world this week, there's obviously a very upsetting situation with the National Guard in California, and I'm still trying to get my arms around that. It is very disturbing. It was a very special week for music and also bittersweet. We learned on Monday that Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone had passed away at the age of 82. And if you get a chance, watch the documentary, for lack of a better term, about him on, I believe it was on Netflix, and it's called Stone. And it captures his extraordinary career brilliantly. And, in addition to being, front man in a very eclectic band that some would call soul, funk, and many other genres all wrapped into one, Sly was also a successful producer. Even going back to his high school days in San Francisco, he produced for a lot of different types of bands and even like orchestras, classical music and jazz. And so very extraordinary talent. And then just today on Wednesday, we learned that Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys had passed away at about the same age. I think it was 82, and another extraordinary talent. And not only the fun beach rock music of the 60s, but the really deep stuff, like the really profound, like Pet Sounds, that many would consider one of the greatest, if not the greatest, albums of all time. And Paul McCartney had even described that album as really being a watershed in modern music, and said it really blew him away in terms of what he had learned about approaches to music that Brian Wilson had revolutionized. And so those are sad moments, but opportunities to reflect on two amazing lives that impacted American music and culture. But Max and I had the privilege on Monday, closer to home here in Waukesha, to honor the Wizard of Waukesha, not John Wooden, Les Paul, on his 110th birthday, a fellow Gemini like me. And as many of you regular listeners know, like one of my pipe dreams, well, I don't think it's a pipe dream anymore, is I'd love to have a Les Paul like Guitar Town festival here that's part school of music and part live performances, even impromptu performances in different bars, churches, other kind of public places, and really a celebration of not only the Les Paul legacy, but of guitars, a great, just an amazing instrument for so many genres. Of course, I'm partial to rock, but blues, jazz. I mean, I've seen some amazing guitarists in my day, and had that privilege of working with them too in my hospitality days. That could be a whole separate show in terms of some of the great guitarists I've had the honor of working with. But my good friend Pat Nettesheim, who was a guest recently, and also to promote his mission of Music Success, which provides free guitars and free guitar lessons to veterans, first responders, and really anybody that's dealing with PTSD or any trauma or really any mental health challenge, and could really benefit from some free music therapy. And Pat had, approached me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, "Hey, I've got the Les Paul birthday party booked at Hannon's here on 234 Broadway, the bar with the finger pointing down, and close to the Five Points here, but further down." And I was like, "Gosh, I hope there's an okay turnout. There's not much time to promote this." And he invited me to MC it, and I was honored to do that. And it was free admission with basically four bands, no cover. There was free food. Then there was music success merchandise, like cool t-shirts, hats, swags, Les Paul picks. There were guitars for sale. There were auction items. There was a Les Paul painting done by local artist Tom Knoll, who really does some great work. And it really, and I learned too later on after you left, Max, I learned all the bands were they donated their time to play.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which I thought that's unbelievable to me. And so that was terrific. I had the honor of meeting Sue Baker. She got to speak at the very beginning, and she's a program director for the Les Paul Foundation. Spent most of her adult life in Waukesha. And when she was the executive director of the Historical Society of Waukesha County, you know, in the old courthouse here, she got to meet Les Paul when they were putting up the Les Paul exhibit there at the museum. And so in the last 10 years of his life, Sue Baker became a really close friend of Les Paul's and shared some really wonderful stories. And, you know, Max, I'm sure you remember, she was in New York City, and Les was concerned about his legacy, the people in Waukesha, especially in Waukesha, wouldn't remember him. And the city had commissioned a Les Paul Parkway, successfully petitioned the city about getting an extra sign made that she could give to Les Paul. And she brought it all the way to New York City. He was playing in a jazz club there. I can't, the name was like Uridian or something like that. And famous in New York. And she made the presentation there in front of a group of people that essentially were, couldn't tell you much about Waukesha other than Les Paul's from there. They may have learned that night when she gave the sign, but she explained to the audience too that it wasn't just any street, but a street that basically makes a circle around the city, around like big components of the city. And it was just a very touching moment for him. As she described it, he was like kind of near tears. And there was a standing ovation in this jazz club in Manhattan, where again, people, you know, probably wouldn't have much to think about or say about Waukesha, you know, much less Milwaukee or much more Milwaukee. But I thought that was a great moment. And she had also told me too, in her last conversation with him before he'd passed away, that he was fearful that nobody would remember him. And as we know, that's clearly not the case. And the turnout was amazing. There was, you know, probably a good couple hundred people there. And Hannon's, as some of you know, there's a back bar room for live music and for private parties and whatnot. So not a very big space, but they packed it in. And they kept it packed for like most of the night. And it was just a really great scene. The music was fun. And it wasn't just the usual suspects or familiar faces, but a lot of new faces that I got to meet. And including one guy came from Chicago, I think, to buy one of the guitars. And also wants to make a big contribution to music success in Les Paul's honor. And so, yeah, it was just an amazing night. You know, Max, what did you like? What was your biggest takeaway in your time that you were, because you were there for like the first two to three bands, right?
Yeah, I was there for like the bands, first two. Yeah, I was there for like the whole one of the first, and then I left like right as the second one started.
Yeah, you did the Irish goodbye, man. I didn't see you leave.
I tried to find you, you're but I snuck out the back, like behind where the bands were playing at.
The stage, yeah.
So. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it was pretty full for most of the time that I was there when they started the music. So
yeah,
definitely a strong sense of community within there.
Sure. You know, talk about current news. One of the, I guess you could say luminaries, city council president who's been on the show a couple times, you might remember, Max, Alicia Halbenslaven, alderwoman for a good part of downtown Waukesha, District 11. She had she was a little late getting there. She got there in time for like the third band, and she was she'd come from the ordinances and license committee, which is obviously very important because they're the ones that issue liquor license and other, you know, all the important stuff, if you will. And one of the things they've been working on with the city and with the Downtown Business Association is a designation for downtown Waukesha as an entertainment district. And what that means is, for those of you regulars or people that have gone to Friday Night Live enough, if there was a, I don't want to say negative, but a shortcoming is that if you go to any bar and you order a drink, even though there's a street festival outside, you can't leave that bar or that roped off area outside their patio. You can't go to another bar with that same drink in your hand. And that's been frustrating for a lot of people, that it's a festival atmosphere and you want to be able to go outside on a beautiful summer night and enjoy your adult beverage and walk around and see some of the art and the other, like the different live bands they have going on. And with this passing, it passes that night, that Monday night, when Max and I were at Hannon's for Les Paul's 110th birthday. And then it goes to the council. There's like three votes they do on it, or three readings, as they call it, you know, real legally stuff. But the wheels are in motion for, you know, by this time next year, downtown Waukesha will be an entertainment district. And so for events like Friday Night Live, or if we, the idea is to expand the footprint of the Les Paul celebration, make it a big festival. We now can take this, take the fun outside, and you know, and guests can you know, when they purchase their adult beverages, they can walk around and enjoy great music from maybe more than one venue, or maybe even out in the street, you know, similar to like Friday Night Live. And so that that's a wonderful development. And to learn about that on a night, on an inaugural event that was kind of done on the seat of our pants, boy, what a big success that was. And the bands were fantastic. The first artist was a one-man soloist named Jesse Velker. Mostly blues, is that fair to say, Mac?
Yeah.
Very bluesy.
Blues. I think if he had more instruments, it might have been like a little more towards like a little like soft rock almost.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a great voice, and his guitar was amazing, but his final song was like a riff from, like, you know, the Benny Hill song. And he even did like a little like verbal, like a vocal, like a jazz, what do they call it, like a skiff, you know, when they're verbalizing the chords.
Yeah.
The beat.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. I thought that was great. And he was followed by Aaron McGroovy, who had kind of a three-piece band, including like was a guitarist and a fiddler, who also, he did other instruments too, I think. And they were a little bit more of that kind of folksy rock. I don't know how else you'd say, how else you'd describe them, but it was fun. You know, she did like a Neil Young cover, Old Man. She did some really great covers, and she finished the set with Led Zeppelin's Thank You from the Led Zeppelin 2 album, one of my favorite albums of all time. And I never heard anybody do a cover of Thank You before. And I thought that was wonderful. So there were really a lot of nice little surprises. And then a band with no name, who at the last second called themselves Dead End Social Club, came. They're a 7-piece band. And so you didn't stick around for them, right, Max?
No, I did not.
They were fun. They did like some Grateful Dead covers, some other like Sublime, some other. I mean, they were a really fun band. They've been jamming together for like 4 years. And most of them live in the same neighborhood in New Berlin. And I'm kind of like a cul-de-sac or a dead-end street. And they have a jam thing in their garage every Tuesday night. And anyone can come and watch them. So I might make it out there and check them out some night. They had a female lead vocalist. And there are three or four guitars. I mean, it was, you know, keyboards. And so it was real fun. And they brought a lot of people too, their families, their kids. So it was very multi-generational. And so they definitely fed into the spirit of Les Paul. And the money being raised too was significant as well. Some guitars were sold. Some auction items were bid fairly high on. And I think some other, you know, I know that Pat was having lunch with someone he met that week about wanting to make a big contribution. So it was certainly a big win for music success, not only from a fundraising standpoint, but also a friend raising and awareness standpoint too. It was such a big win. And I had fun sharing a lot of the pictures on social media, including a couple with you and me, Max. And it was we had some very positive responses and quite a few shares too. And
nice.
I got friend requests from people like that too that night. And so it was just a really, really fun evening. And then for me, a deadhead, the last I don't want to call them the headliner, but they were certainly, they were the last band, and they were called Working Man's Dead, and they were a Dead cover band, and it was great because all these guys were like, you know, I'll be 58 on Sunday, Max, you have still time to give me a present. These guys had a good 15 or 20 years on me, and they were jamming. They were doing like really great. They were doing a great job with the Grateful Dead covers. And what's the one? The Rolling Stones' Big Hit the Last Time, which the Grateful Dead covers a lot. These guys did that, and that was fun. So, but it was really, I got to meet members of the Hannon family too, including Aaron McGroovy, who's marrying Pat Hannon, I believe, in the fall. And so it was just a lot to celebrate, and couldn't have asked for nicer weather too. We really got lucky with the weather. That might have been a different outcome if it was like, you know, pissing rain.
But yeah.
I just, I couldn't be prouder of the success of that event and my small part in it, but very happy for music success. For Hannon's too. I mean, Mondays aren't a big night there. And many of the bars and restaurants are closed in downtown still on Mondays. Except for like People's Park and maybe Magellan's. Main Street might be open, but they had a full bar on the other side too in Hannon's. So it was a great night for them. And that's another reason you do events like this, is you can help, especially when they fall on slow nights. It's a big shot in the arm for a local business like that. So, so yes, a happy birthday to Les Paul. And, Max, did you get everything you were looking for in terms of what you're hoping to capture for like a video blog? Is that what it was for Civic Media?
Yeah. I'm doing more of a feature
piece. I know, I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, I'm trying to do more of a feature piece on Pat music success. But it was a cool event to kind of showcase some of the, it was a cool event to kind of showcase some of the stuff that they do outside of just their store. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It was neat. One of the, I don't know if you were there for this, Max, but there was a guitar that didn't have the stick at the end of the cord.
Yes.
You can tell I'm a musician. It was missing that. So it was basically a broken guitar, but artist Tom Knoll had kind of, he'd retrofitted like an American flag feature, like treatment around it, and kind of a nice, like a canvas cover with that flat American flag painted on it. And basically in the hole of the guitar was where people could make their donations. And we, but that guitar itself is kind of symbolic of what music success, clientele, you know, going through their damaged, some are amputees if they are veterans, and even if not physically, certainly mentally, emotionally, they're broken, if you will. But that there is opportunity for rebirth and healing and all the things that make life worth living. And so that was a really neat piece. And we're going to have Tom Knoll on the show too one of these days, because he is a Waukesha native, and he doesn't do computers or internet, but he's good friends with our Mary Jane Sanchez. So. That's the office I'm in, actually. I call it the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, one of many. we decided the plan would be to get Tom here, or at least have him here with Mary Jane, and I could be in another location and we could do the interview. But Tom's got a lot of great stories to tell, having grown up in Waukesha and having another guy that's made a career out of being an artist. And it's the same joke about artists as it is about jazz musicians. You know, what do you call a jazz musician whose girlfriend threw him out of the apartment? Homeless. But there are those musicians, other artists that have made very good livings with their work, with doing what they love and what they're great at. And Tom's another one of those great stories. So I look forward to having him on a future podcast very soon. So Max, any final comments on the Les Paul inaugural birthday bash, honoring his 110th birthday and supporting music success?
Just definitely check out the organization. They do great work over there, and hopefully people will check out the video that I'm making on it to see a little bit more into what they do.
Sounds great. And stay tuned, all your listeners, for when Max's feature piece gets published at some point. And so we look forward to hearing more about that. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. And put it on your calendars for next year. There'll be a second annual Les Paul birthday bash in support of music success. And anyone interested in supporting it and making it bigger, and some great sponsorship opportunities as it gets, as we have grow the event, grow the concept, and some great ground floor opportunities. And again, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Max again for all the great work he does. Please remember, everybody, especially as we're getting into summer, safety is everyone's responsibility. Mental health is good. Mental health is everybody's right. Thank you again. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler, and see ya.